We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Knicks fans, how you doing? It's your boy Andrew Claudio here with another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. If you've enjoyed the last 2 weeks of shows where Jeremy and I were running the ship, first of all, thank you. And second of all, you're welcome. Jeremy and I really wanted to put together 2 weeks of shows that you would enjoy with some guests that you would be interested in hearing. And if you've hated the last 2 weeks of shows with Jeremy and I running the ship, never fear. John is back in the next episode on Monday from his brand new location. And if you have no idea what that means, first of all, shame on you. You're not subscribed to the newsletter. And I'll let him explain exactly what that means on Monday. As you can tell from the length of this episode, there is not much to talk about. So we're on the bit of the shorter side. There's just flat out not much going on in the NBA right now. There's a fascinating Ben Simmons situation, which I can't wait to see how it plays out. And we'll discuss on Monday when John and Jeremy are back together. As far as Knicks news goes, there's videos going around of RJ Barrett shooting off the dribble. Great. Can't wait to see him put it into practice in games that matter and not open gyms. And that's not RJ slander. I've just lived through the DSJ looks great in preseason or offseason workout videos. I'm glad to see RJ's working on his game. I just don't react to games against non-NBA players or clips against non-NBA players that way. And then like Nerlens Noel owns Kendrick Perkins Lunch, which as you heard on Sunday, I am a fan of because I don't want to hear from Kendrick Perkins ever. There's not much going on, guys. We are in the dog days of the NBA offseason, but that is not going to stop us from putting out NBA content, which leads to the episode you're getting today. Last week, Jeremy sat down with New York Times, LA Times, all the Times, best-selling author Miran Feder. She just recently wrote a book on Giannis called Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP. She has impeccable timing because the book's release schedule and release press tour just so happened to coincide with Giannis's first run to an NBA championship, which might lead to an edited version of the final chapter and new release of the book in the not too distant future. Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA Champion. The book is really well done. I read it while I was on my New England vacation a couple weeks ago, and you really get an understanding in the player empowerment era why this guy, one of the stars in our league, the first one in a long time, decided to stay. You know, like obviously Steph Curry has stayed and others have actually stayed in their situation. But in the era of LeBron going to leaving his team three different times and KD leaving his team twice and all of these different stars trying to force trades midway into their long-term commitments, Giannis stayed. And some of us might have been a bit confused why he decided to stay in Milwaukee long-term. Read the book and you will understand. I hate using the term rags to riches because I think it demeans someone's situation as rags, but this would qualify as one of those stories. The situation he grew up in over in Greece is one that the moment that he received any success or stability here in America, he was going to be grateful for. And you really get a good sense of the type of person he is, type of big kid that he can be at times. It's a really fun story of him at a Walmart. Like imagine Giannis, like big 6'10 dude, like in the cart at Walmart being pushed around by his brother. Like that's Giannis, like it's just a big teenager in Superman's body. I think it's a fascinating read. I think you guys will enjoy the book if you want to check it out. Again, it's called Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP, and it's available on Amazon wherever books are sold. Let's hear from the author, Jeremy's conversation with the one and only best-selling author, Miran Fader.
Here with us on the Knicks Film School podcast is a guest who needs no introduction, but we're going to do it anyway. You may have seen her work for The Ringer, previously with the Bleacher Report, but now I'm very pleased to say she is a New York Times best-selling author and has written Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP, Miran Fader. Miran, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. It's so good to be here with you. I'm just taking it all in. That was such a nice bio. Thank you.
My pleasure. This is such a great story. As I was saying to you, you know, I got it this weekend and I've just been tearing through it, and I'm usually a very slow reader. So that just goes to show how much I'm enjoying this. But this book was originally supposed to be a profile on Giannis's younger brother, Alex. And then it turned into this. Could you tell us a little bit more about how this all kind of came to be in that sense?
Yeah, this was never supposed to be a thing. I just got extremely lucky and I went to Alex's home and I never thought Giannis would be there. I thought he'd be out doing MVP things and he was just there. And the more I spent time with him and his brother Alex and their mom Veronica, I was like, you know, this profile kind of reveals more about Giannis than it does Alex. And I had been looking to do a book, and you know, when the story came out, I was like, wait, there's so many layers to Giannis's story, so many human compelling things that I was like, I think this is a book.
Well, it certainly had the material for it, and I guess was Alex okay knowing that his material went towards a book and not the story?
Yeah, well, it's funny you should say that because, luckily the story was there as well. And so you have both, but some reader wrote, there's so much Alex in here. And I'm like, well, Alex is kind of like one of the most important things in the world to Giannis. So, you know, it is his story, but it's also a family story.
Absolutely. And I think the family theme is such a huge part. And, you know, Giannis, his compassion, I love the story about how they went Christmas caroling and he felt so much pride with buying a television with the money that they had. And that really represented something that the family could partake in. And then kind of connecting that even with after the finals, where he had the courtesy in that moment at the Chick-fil-A to ask the server or the person taking his order, can I put you on camera? You're so good at taking these players and reducing them to the people that they are and showing us how they're just like us. Can you walk us through your process and how you're able to get someone like Giannis and open up and really get to that point?
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. I mean, I think first it's like the way you look at them, right? Like when I see people on the bench, you know, or people on the court, I'm thinking like, I wonder where they came from. I wonder who their parents are. I wonder what their childhood was like. And I think when you just have that curiosity and lens, seeing them as human beings first, athletes second, you're going to naturally ask questions of them that, you know, show them that you're genuinely wanting to know more about them as a person. sometimes I forget to ask about basketball because I'm so, that sounds ridiculous, but there's just so much stuff I want to know about who they are. And, you know, the sport they play is obviously a big part of who they are, but it's not everything. And I think sometimes athletes can sense like, oh, she's asking about my mom. Like, she wants to know about where I grew up. Like, that's interesting. I usually just get asked, what team do I want to play for? So I think sometimes, you know, there's a intimacy built based on just asking sincere questions that are more well-rounded.
Of course. And, you know, I mean, it's certainly evident. And I guess for our listeners, for maybe those who have not had the opportunity yet to pick up a copy, quite simply, what about the story do you find to be maybe the most improbable?
I think that the fact that he was undocumented really made all of this ever more improbable. Like, I don't think people realize how, you know, impossible it seemed to go to the NBA because he literally did not have a passport when this all started. Like, it was very hard to scout him because he couldn't leave the country. And I think that alone, and of course, not to mention all of the really difficult things he dealt with as far as the racism that he experienced and all the other ways that, you know, he and other Black migrants were treated, was just really hard. And so I think you take the undocumented part alone, and it's like, It's a freaking miracle that the Greek government gave him citizenship at the last minute. It's a miracle that the Bucks drafted him. Like, all of these things could have easily not happened.
Yeah, I remember, you know, way back when he didn't have the nationality, and I thought like, oh, well, you know, I mean, his family is from Nigeria and he must have Nigerian citizenship. No, to think, as you're saying, where if something were to happen with his parents, where they could go to Nigeria, but what happens to Giannis and his brothers? Where do they go? They're, as you said in your chapter, they're stateless. How exactly, and I'm curious, because with Greece and a pandemic and everything going on, how did that affect you in your process for writing?
A lot. It was very, oh God, it was, let me just preface, a lot of people had their lives ruined by this pandemic and had really, really hard things. And I was a very lucky human. And so I, when I say things were hard, I just mean in the most, you know, easy of senses compared to the rest of the people around the world. But it was so hard because I was supposed to go to Greece and I wanted to walk the streets that Giannis walked and smell the streets and describe the streets. And that's like really hard to do when you're in your apartment by yourself for a year. And so for me, I was like, okay, well, shoot, the publisher is not like, well, it's a pandemic, we'll give you some more time. They're like, it's due. So I was just like, okay. And I had to figure it out. So my mentality the whole year was like, writers write, reporters report. I got to figure this out. So I would wake up super, super early every day and I would start interviewing people in Greece over WhatsApp or Viber at like 6 a.m. my time in Los Angeles, and just say like, hey, can you, you know, because I can't be there because of COVID, can you help me figure out what this looks like? Can you describe it to me? So it was really hard, but at the same time, like, maybe it forced me to be a little bit more relentless in my pursuit of detail.
Well, I mean, it was what, 221 people that you interviewed?
Yes. Yes.
That's just an astounding amount. And in terms of, you know, there are moments where you're incredibly descriptive about some of the environments that or businesses, buildings that, you know, so there were you relying mostly on like Google Images at that point or Google Earth, or did you get access to other photos? How did it work?
It's so crazy. I hired a researcher on the ground who would like send me videos and photos. I say, can you go to his high school? Can you double confirm that he went there? Can you take pictures of his high school? And, you know, because it's nothing will ever be this hard because you're working in another language. So there's that. It's not just like, oh, I'm not geographically there. It's like, I can't Google Giannis's high school because that's never been reported which high school he went to. I can't Google like Giannis's playground. Like, these things just don't exist. And so it was a lot of like asking his coaches, like, okay, what high school did he go to? Who were his friends that lived next door to him? And those people would then send me photos and I would try to verify their identities in that way. That was really hard too. Like I said, you can't Google Giannis's childhood friends and find names. Like, this is all through just straight up old school reporting and vetting and asking people.
Yeah. It seemed like there were just some connections where I'm thinking like, how on earth did Mirren get from this person that, but as you're saying, just great reporting. So
A lot of caffeine, I'll tell you that.
So I know that everyone has kind of made this comment, but it can't be said how perfect the timing of Giannis getting this title was. And I'm sure that it's tough to kind of root from the sidelines and you try to stay neutral as a journalist. But, you know, what is your mind like throughout this postseason where they're down, what, 3-2 to the Nets, and they claw their way back and they beat what we know as a tough Hawks team and come back from a 2-0 deficit to beat the Suns and win a title, and all while, you know, we're fearing the worst about his knee from that play. What is going through your mind through this whole process?
I am going insane. The emotional wherewithal on me, you know, it's been like 7 weeks of pure chaos in this here brain. Like, I remember the day that we were waiting to see if Giannis was like done for the season. Like, I woke up so stressed that morning, and I was in the I was recording the audiobook, and you're not allowed to have your phone on and stuff because of the sound. And it was like a 6-hour session. And after every like chapter, I would just go back into my bag, like, to see if there's been a Giannis alert, because I was like, everything comes down to this, you know. And it's just like, it just really brought me, you know, first of all, it brought me joy. It made me stress. It was exciting. It was scary. It was nerve wracking. It was insane. My parents and I watched every game. I'm not going to lie, I was a Bucks fan. I mean, technically, as everyone has told me, you were rooting for you. This is selfish. You were not rooting for the Bucks. But I'm like, okay, true. But you know, it was fun, because normally I'm so old school. I won't even let my sources buy me coffee. You know, I'm like, no, don't do that, I'll get fired. You know, just very by the book. But this is different. This was like a once in a lifetime dream. So I was like, go Bucks.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, even still, it's such a great story. I mean, but that's the thing, right? You can always find a great angle and a great story with one player on a team and how uplifting that can be. But this just happens to be your reason. And it's a really good reason to why you should root for them and why you did.
Thank you for validating what I needed to hear. Appreciate it.
Of course, 100%. Have you spoken with Giannis since the Bucks won?
No, I don't know what I don't know what they think, but they've had the book for a really long time. They were the first to get it, so hopefully they like it.
I'm sure they did. Are there any good anecdotes or stories that you want to share that, you know, maybe didn't make the cut for the book, but you feel are just so compelling?
This is a really good question, and I'm kicking myself because I should have had this in my back pocket. I think there was just more in depth about the struggle to get the papers. I think it was like really hard to whittle that down, because there was a lot of middlemen that, like, it's not really going to mean much to the reader to just tell you like two paragraphs of all the anonymous people behind the scenes. So there was just more there. There was more Jason Kidd. I'm sure people would like that. All the aggregators of the internet who didn't bother to look at the context. I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer. I think my brain is broken from this experience. And as you know, I'm going on vacation next week.
Yes. Listen, if I had to do as many interviews as you've been doing, I would be in the same position. So that is totally fine.
Okay.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the relationship between these four brothers? I mean, you know, of course, yeah. Francis as well, but given the fact that he's not in Greece, you know, what is it like? Because it's just, they seem to share everything. I loved what you had written about how I think it was Thanasis. I can't remember exactly, but, or basically, or saying along the lines of like, it's very easy to not have fights when you share everything.
Yeah. I remember that was Alex. And he was like, people are surprised by that. They're like, how do you not fight? How do you not argue? And it's like, well, if nothing was given to us individually, like what's there to fight about? And, you know, it's, I think what's so interesting about their bond is that, there's no jealousy. Like, you know, Thanasis had every reason to be jealous of Giannis, you know. Younger brother's dreams happened before his. People did not consider Thanasis talented at all whatsoever. His move to the Bucks, largely a move to court Giannis, you know? And he was like the happiest person in the world for Giannis. And, you know, Kosa's career has not gone the way, obviously, now Thanasis has or Giannis. And he's like so thrilled for them. You know, there's no animosity there. And it's really genuine. They're also just really, they're really funny together. Like one scene that didn't make the book, actually, maybe this is good for your other question, because it was in the BR story, but it didn't make the book. When I was talking with Alex in the family's basement, when I was doing the story, his phone rings and then he's like, starts talking in Greek. And obviously I have no idea what's going on. And then I ask him like, hey, who was that? And he was like, oh, that's my brother. I'm like, really? Which one? He's like, oh, Giannis. And I was like, isn't he upstairs? And he's just like, yeah, he just wanted to check on me to make sure I was okay in my interview. And I just thought that was the sweetest thing ever. You know, it's like big brother is like checking on you, even though he's just a mere stairway away, you know? So there's close. And then there's like this family close. It's totally different than other people.
Yeah. And the sense of how, Giannis is more stressed out watching Alex's games than he is in a semifinal appearance.
I was like, I hope not. I mean, God, that is a lot of pressure on Alex. Okay. Yeah. And he meant it. He was not joking. At first I thought he was joking when Giannis said that to me, but he was like dead serious. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, now I get it. Now I get why you guys have such a strong work ethic, because there is an expectation there and a focus with which you practice with. And I also found that quote interesting because I think a lot of people over the years, obviously so focused on Giannis's athleticism and his body and what a freak of nature. But when he says quotes like that, to me, I think it really speaks to mental fortitude and, you know, a toughness cerebrally that I think isn't covered as much. So I find that personally to be one of the most interesting parts about Giannis, the way he thinks and sees the game.
Sure. And then, I mean, even off the court, it seems like he's completely unfazed by everything going on. I'm sure a lot of opposing fans might like to get credit for counting to 10 far too quickly and throwing him off of his game. But from what I'm reading, it doesn't seem like he cares at all, or he just blocks it out.
At all. I mean, it's like, what is a counting down or like a meme gonna do when you've dealt with hunger and, you know, the loss of your father and, you know, just figuring out like, okay, we just got evicted, we got to go by sundown. You know, I just think that there's a maturity to Giannis that caused him to have a really healthy life perspective. You know, from a young age, he learned what is important in life and what is not. And he's just been trained to focus on things he can control. And that's why I think, you know, none of that other stuff phases him. And it's become cliche, you know, I'm sure we all read interviews with athletes and say, I don't care what people think, like whatever. And then they actually do. And they're like searching their name. But I really think that he doesn't. I really think so. It's very genuine in this case.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's just, I mean, in terms of Milwaukee, right? Because he could have had the opportunity to leave. Yeah. That was certainly on the table, but he decided to stay despite, you know, any struggles that the team went through and they committed, and they obviously, Chris Middleton excelled and trading for Jrue Holiday. Does it make more sense now, kind of after profiling him for this, why he would stay? In the sense of how, is it like more of a family aspect where he really feels at home? Because he could have gone anywhere. I mean, anyone, any team would have given up anything for him on earth. But what do you think was it that really kept him rooted in Milwaukee?
I mean, I think it is a couple of things. I mean, you know, he still remembers that they took a chance on him and drafted him. And, you know, it's not like he was drafting. He's like, you're lucky to have me. He was like, I'm going to prove to this city that I'm worthy. And he never forgot that they not only took a chance on him, but nurtured him like a son. You know, everyone in the organization treated him like he was family, and they always have. And I think that that was very important to him. I do know that like the family also just really does like the city of Milwaukee. You know, apparently Veronica didn't want to leave. She's like, I like it here. And I know, you know, Alex, of course, built his roots there as well, you know, and he had been there since middle school. You know, just spending the formative years of his teenage years there. So as a family, it made so much sense. But when this thing came out with the Brewers last week or whenever that was, I was like, oh my God. So I guess he really was always going to stay, you know, but at the time it really felt like it could go either way.
Yeah. No, I mean, the fact that, as you're saying, with the Brewers and how rooted he is, it kind of, it feels like Aaron Rodgers, but maybe without the drama towards the end of Aaron Rodgers' career, at least.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it seems like Giannis also thinks that Alex could still be better than him. Do you think that's still the case even after all of this now?
It is. And every time I like hear that or think that, I'm like, no. But then I'm like, wait, remember Giannis as an 18-year-old? He was skinny. He was scrawny. He wasn't Giannis. And all the brothers told me that where Alex is developmentally in terms of his shot, he actually has a really nice outside shot. Dribbling, all defense, all these things is ahead of where Giannis was at this exact point. So that's encouraging, but also like, does he have the same work ethic as his brother? You know, I don't know. It kind of a mixed bag, just talking with his high school coaches and stuff. But then he just won a championship with the Sacramento Summer League team. So I don't know. I think it's really hard to be the fourth. I mean, it's hard to be the third, but it is really hard to be the fourth.
Admittedly, as an only child, it's for me, it's one and done, but I can imagine for, you know, for the several siblings by a certain point, it's definitely difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's actually really fascinating. I hadn't thought of it before, but the idea of how, you know, you've written about how Alex is really growing up in an environment that's so different from where Thanasis and Giannis, even Kostas to an extent, of what they grew up in, moving to America and having the resources that Giannis didn't have at his disposal. Is that maybe going to keep him, is he going to be a little less motivated because he has more, or is it going to make him more motivated because of what he has and who's in his corner?
I think the jury's still out. Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're waiting to see. You know, I thought Giannis's quote when he said to me, you know, I didn't know it's easy to be motivated when you have everything, aka what Alex has. I didn't have a choice. I had to be motivated. And Giannis said that to me. And, you know, I do think Alex has had such a radically different high school experience. Like, part of the reason he didn't go to college, as I say in my book, is because he just didn't have the grades, because he was always out with Giannis, and he was living the pro life, you know? So in some ways, Alex is extra prepared for the pros because he was around it all the time, and he's watched practices. He knows what it takes to compete. So I think he's really talented. I think it's up to him. We'll see what he does. I'm excited for him.
Yeah. Well, Miren, thank you. This has been such a wonderful opportunity and experience. You know, this is such a great book. I encourage all of you out there to please pick up a copy. I know you're going on vacation, but is there anything that you have in the works that you feel comfortable sharing or that you'd like to plug in addition to this copy?
Well, I am doing some football stuff. I can't say what, but I really do like being the weirdo that goes from like a billion different sports and beats. And I just kind of go with what interests me. So it's been, I haven't done football in what feels like forever. So I'm excited. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Miren.
Can I jump in with one thing at the end? By the way, I'll echo everything Jeremy said about the book being outstanding. Also, 221 interviews. Not sure I've ever talked to 221 people in my life. So bravo on that. You know, you've done the greatest maybe the greatest athlete in Milwaukee history outside of Lew Alcindor. But the next step, if you're going to football, there's another great Wisconsin quarterback that has been in the news lately that, if you're going to be as thorough on Giannis, maybe we could finally get, you want to talk about family issues. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is just waiting for you to show up and finally write his story, Miren.
Look, I dropped a Davante Adams profile earlier this year, and everyone was like, what is up with you and Wisconsin? And I was like, I don't know. So maybe we'll see something.
I can see it now, Jeremy. Like, the reason Aaron Rodgers will talk to his family is because of the introspection that Miren got out of him. That's what's going to end up happening.
I believe it.
Manifest it. Manifest
there you
it,
go. There, there you go. Go. All started on the Knicks Film School podcast.
Well, thank you, Miren. And again, promoting Giannis, the improbable NBA MVP, in stores now and by audiobook narrated by.
Yes.
By Miren. So go get yourself a copy.
Awesome. Thanks.
There we go.
Thank you, Miren.
Shout out to Miren for coming on today's pod. If you want to check out the book, Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP, head on over to Amazon or wherever books are sold and pick it up. We will put a link to said book in the episode description you are listening to right now. Also, shout out to Julito and Keith Smith and John Schmelk and everybody that's listened over the past 2 weeks, that's contributed over the last 2 weeks. I really appreciate any of the feedback and support that we've gotten, even if you hated the last 2 weeks and made it known. We appreciate it. But never fear, as I mentioned earlier, Monday, the return of the Mac. John will be back here on the show. And if you want to give him a great welcome home present, you know what you can do. Head on over to iTunes, drop a 5-star rating and a review. Have a good weekend. For those of you that experienced some of the, I don't know if it's effects, because what happened with the flooding the last couple days is not just effects. If you were affected by the flooding in different parts of the city, different parts of Jersey, the end of my block was underwater and would have gone up to my knees if I wasn't on a third floor and on the top of a hill. You know, just stay safe, and our thoughts are with you. And I really hope nothing serious has happened that causes you to really have to go through something. I'm trying to talk around it because, like, there's a much more serious situation down south, but I'm not trying to minimize what's happened to us up north. I just will just encourage everybody, stay safe out there. Have as good a weekend as possible. If you can, go see the new Marvel movie. Shang-Chi is in theaters. And yeah, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday, and I'll speak with you soon. Peace out.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.